Yeah.
All right.
I'm ready.
We're underway.
Minutes look good to me.
Yeah, minutes look pretty good, so we'll adopt those. And then this evening, we essentially are starting really kind of a working discussion so we can start closing out some items and begin to frame it up.
My hours as well. I don't know if you want to do that here or not.
Yeah, I mean,
improve his hours.
Yeah, I mean,
we did that more or less by email, but not everybody weighed in. So,
well, you know what? I don't weigh in because I'm not going to contribute anything else. I agree with you and so forth. So, I mean, I could wait.
Well, except that we all want to make sure that no one has any problem with it. So we can.
If I had a problem, I'd weigh in.
Okay, there you go.
That's the way I am as well.
Okay,
you know, I figure the dialogue is strong, and so. Rather than weighing in,
we did have a lot of email thread going today.
I could put yes, or, you know, I figure that I will just answer if it's not affirmative.
Right, and then we're so about closing.
Yeah,
we're just justifying it.
We just need to see what happens at the end of the week.
Yeah, that sounds good. So then, just to begin kind of our discussion as we start to think about how we're going to
We don't have an agenda, right?
No.
No, okay. It's just kind of basically a work.
Just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had some emails going back and forth, and it's just, I think it really is helpful, because I think it really starts to get us into the nuts and bolts about how we start to think about the framework of a recommendation, and then how far that recommendation will go, potentially, too. I think if we wanted to think about the options before us now, I mean, I don't know if there's a good way to frame that up. I'm a little tongue-tied on this. So,
well, there's only a couple of things that we need to still decide. I think we're all in general agreement on getting EMS under the fire district one way or another. The hope is that they'll annex the town. Failing that, the town will continue to contract for service, I suppose.
I mean, that would be the worst on
people. I mean, the real option is we're going to recommend they do that, and if it fails, they have no choice but to do the other.
Is it correct to say the annexation option doesn't seem quite as crucial at this point?
Well, it's not crucial per se in that you can do the move to the fire district without it.
This is doable without it, right?
I mean, it is, but the preference would be, for simplicity's sake, to annex the town.
Because, I mean, at first we basically thought there's no way you can do this without annexation. At this point, it seems like that is viable if you want to do that.
Yeah, it just leaves you with the contract for service still. And the contract for service now would have to include EMS as well as fire.
Right, so it's that portion of it.
So that would change the contract for sure.
Right.
It was interesting to see that their contract has a built-in termination if annexation succeeds.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that they were considering that when they wrote that contract.
And I did have a conversation with Duncan today. And, you know, one of the things Duncan reiterated is that he really thinks that there's an advantage for the town to annex in. I mean, regardless of any of the other pieces of that discussion, he still thinks that's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. So there's still
one thing I thought of that I hadn't thought of earlier, which is an incentive to do that, is the fire district property tax levy would be collected, as it always has been, by the fire district within the county, and the town wouldn't have to have whatever amount they pay to have the property tax collected for them by the county deducted from their property tax for that piece. They'd still have to pay that percentage that they pay for property tax collection to the county and whoever, for the part that they keep, that, you know, whatever they don't reduce it by or whatever. But the fire district levy, they would no longer have that piece of their property tax levy assessed whatever the rate is that they take to process the collection through the county, because they do pay for that.
Because the district then would be doing
that. The fire district would be doing it. They're out of that business. So it reduces the amount that they are on the hook for and all that. So there's a small incentive for the town to actually get rid of EMS as an issue for them and not do the contract and not do whatever. Let the fire district just do it.
Yeah.
Be done with it. It makes their lives a little easier. But I still think the preference would be to annex, because then it's a simple deal and removes an interlocal agreement that they have to otherwise have. That has to be renegotiated to include EMS and all that. So that's the direction I think we still want to go. And the question of when to step into it.
But I'll tell you, George, I'm still, I mean, I know I'm probably the biggest hold up on this. I think, and one of the pieces that I can't remember if it was in the table of contents or kind of the draft of the frame of it. I'm still, though, not 100% certain of actually the consolidation. And the reason that I'm struggling with it is still because of this idea that we're moving something that, and I'm going to give everybody the fact that, you know, yes, they work together and yes, they go out and meet at different scenes, but it's still a very different proposition between fire and EMS, between medicine and fire. And so, and I think while we have all said that there's synergies, one of the things that I don't know that I saw on the table of contents is really a full explanation of what those synergies are, the value proposition out of bringing this together.
Sure.
The reason that at the end of the day, we've looked so much at the process of doing it that I'm still not in my mind 100% sold of the value of doing it.
Well, I was confident that you were noodling through numbers that was going to prove that it saves some money in the process.
I think that from a
but maybe I'm wrong about that.
No, I think from a financial standpoint it is.
Okay.
But if they don't execute on it, then it has absolutely no value.
Sure.
And so intrinsically, if they don't cut back, and believe me, I just at the chief's meeting, and you know, Norvin's talking about, well, you know, the port's maybe willing to give this, and we can put up a maintenance bay over here, and you know, we can put up a training thing, and we're talking about getting fire burn things over here to do what Snohomish County can do, and those kinds of things. And I'm back to, it's a lot of money going out. It's a lot of money going out for a maintenance facility, for fire burn facility, and oh, by the way, we might be able to, in the training center, to set aside a little bit of room for EMS and do, you know, training and so forth. And so I'm thinking to myself through that whole process, great. Economically, yes, we might be able to say we could save money, but if they don't execute on that.
Yeah.
What are the other values?
How about we throw out that kind of more as an if-then? The caveat behind the whole savings piece of this is that they have to do certain things, or it isn't going to be worth it.
Correct.
And if we say as a recommendation, if you're willing to do these things, you will realize these, but don't do it if you aren't willing to do the things that are actually going to save you the money. I mean, if you can make that a part of the recommendation, then hopefully they will commit to doing those things before they actually
ahead and execute. They will commit. And I mean,
and that's what I think you want.
When you heard Norvin say, don't box me in. Give me opportunities to, but don't box me in. And I'm hearing that, well, maybe Albert is kind of coming along as long as it's under one roof. And so I'm not 100%, I'll just be honest with you, I'm not 100% sold on this process going the way it's going. Not that I like it where it's at, but I'm not 100%. So,
and maybe, Rick, one of the things that we've talked about in here, and I think it's going to be important going forward, is when it comes to discussing levels of service, that's what we have today and versus what we might be able to achieve if we're able to get some operational efficiencies, We've got to have some measurable outcomes in this. And we, because ultimately, we've got to talk to voters and taxpayers, right? So the, we've got to show the investors that they're getting something out of this. So the ability to provide services, and not only just to provide them the way they're provided today, but make some valued increases in providing those services, that's I think it's kind of built into this, this process. But maybe we need to stipulate that, and that's an expectation, having some baseline measurements of service and then an expectation to be able to show increased value in better services over a period of time.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, man. Right? One of the things that stuck to me is when I talked to Katie Holstein, she said, so what are your value propositions? What are the things that you're going to base every recommendation on? We really haven't said what those things are. We haven't really put fundamentally three to five things down that says everything that we recommend should measure against this. You know, we've really sat down and I think we've done very good work and you know, kind of understanding what maybe some of the hurdles are and understanding how to get through those. And all I'm saying is, and I don't want to wrap up this meeting with it, all I'm saying is that I wanted to challenge your statement of that we're all in agreement.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm in agreement if they are going down the good path, but I'm uncomfortable with is going to fire with this idea that, you know, fire. Again, when I was just listening to them, they were really excited, and you know, Jay and Scott are fire people, and Norman's talking about all this stuff, and I'm still thinking to myself, I'm missing the point. I'm missing then why we're going the way we're going. And so, anyways, I want to bring that up.
Well, it's reasonable to bring that up. I can think of two things that I think actually we have talked about in the value proposition. One was improved service levels through the 24/7 staffing with paramedic, firefighter kind of guys who could then roll rigs from the station because they're going to be there. Mm-hmm. And we have to say that that's one of the things we think adds value is the service level gets better. So response times gets reduced and things like that.
It will add value to fire. It won't add value to EMS because EMS has just put on 24-hour staff. So it's not going to add value to medicine. It will add value to fire. I'm okay with that because if my house is burning down, you know, it'd be nice to probably have them show up sooner rather than later.
Yes, that's true. But I mean,
I would argue it adds value to the emergency response. You keep separating fire and medical response. There are a lot of the responses are both. So vehicle accident with disentanglement requires fire and EMS on scene because one does the other. So you're adding value to the response, 24/7 response by doing that. And right now, I don't know what their model is, but their paramedic is rolling out of their home from somewhere. And is there two EMTs on all time or just one?
Just one.
So, and I know they can roll the rig with one EMT driving it, but what services does that get you? I've been on scenes where
the proposition is there's still only be one at the firehouse.
There'd be a paramedic and firefighter.
But they'd be at the firehouse rather than down Cattle Point Road someplace when they're coming to town for the calls.
Doesn't take consolidation. All that takes is somebody in their management to say, you know what, paramedics?
You're going to stay at the station.
You stay at the station.
They could make that change. But I'm arguing only that we say as a caveat to the whole proposition that they want to move this thing over there and make it part of the fire district is that has to be the commitment they made to doing this is the 24/7 from the station, roll paramedic, firefighter,
time. And again, you're right. If it's a fire or if it's an automotive accident, but our, you know, the numbers of those as opposed to us doing this, I'm really looking at this is supposed to be why is it really EMS really going to fire? Not what is the value that fire is going to get out of it. It's really what is the value of EMS that's going to get out of it.
And for that,
I haven't grabbed that yet. It hasn't like just been, oh wow. Mm-hmm. You know. other than, I'll be honest with you, I think it gets a much better chief, you know? You know, I mean, I just throw it out there. But other than that, I'm yet not certain what it is, because the elected board is just that, it's elected. And so it's going to change and so forth. So we could be walking from a frying pan to a fire, okay? You know, we could be stepping out of the pan and going right into the fire, or we could be going into a bucket of cold water. So that, George, I'm being long-winded.
Yeah, no, I understand, but we need to come to some
where we get those
consensus,
value.
Though.
Yeah, where we get those value. Well, I think all of you guys are. And so, you know,
yeah, but
it's a majority.
That's only 4 out of 5, so.
Well, it's still a majority rule. And as we put this together, I'm going to measure it. My measurement is, at the end of the day, can I really say EMS is getting a true value proposition out of it?
Is your sense of the financial implications of this that EMS saves money?
Again, if it's managed properly, again, all of this is about proper management. EMS could be surviving for a long time if it had good leadership, and that leadership managed its financials. It could be going on for a long time just the way it is. We could be separated. If they work together, there's nothing that stops them from working together today. There's nothing that says EMS could not be financially sound.
It all comes down to leadership. You're absolutely correct.
It does. And so as long as we are really, at the end of the day, making, you know, having recommendation, having our value statement say, this is where you need to be or you missed the mark, and I'm measuring it against medicine. I'm not measuring it against fire, because I think fire's working good. I mean, I don't see that fire's, you know, not working well.
I think to some extent, I mean, we have discussed it, because I think what we've tried to do early on, and maybe this is one of the principles going forward, is we've tried to say that I think what we're working towards is achieving a level of service that's appropriate for our community and affordable for our community. And however we try to define what that is, right? And I think it's a level of service on both sides. I like your approach and what you've brought to this discussion from the beginning, which is we're talking about emergency services here. It's not, you know, to me, it's that full spectrum. It's ALS call. Everybody's gone. But how do we define that, right? What does that mean? What is a good level of service? And it's always been a little murky. I mean, frankly, in the report that Chief Martin had brought to us relative to trying to define level of service on the emergency medical side, I never ever got a sense really what levels of service were being achieved.
Well, because they don't.
They have very little data.
They have no targeted benchmarks to.
We had 1 month every June of 2016, whatever it was. It was like that month we have data for, but otherwise we have no idea.
Right, and I think that, I mean, so to me, that's always been one of the big driving points in where we're going, what we're trying to achieve, regardless of what the final recommendation is. We've got to address.
I think Rick's point is. Merging EMS into fire doesn't necessarily make that happen.
No.
It should happen, but it could just as easily happen the way it is now or some other way. It doesn't have to go to fire for that to happen.
And I haven't heard that many enhanced levels of service. The constituents have been willing to pay, the residents have been willing to pay what they're paying fire and EMS, which is a fairly substantial amount of money. They're not, you know, jumping in, I mean, they've had 2 levy failures, but at the end of the day, it passed. And we've sat here, and the best that I can get so far at a level of service, the best that I can get is now the fire department may have somebody there 24/7. And that's it. I mean, we've really not come away with how much additional service we're gonna give. That, in my estimation, doesn't necessarily, by any means, warrant the consolidation. It only says that that fire is going to, you know, have the opportunity by consolidating these dollars to also have a 24/7 person. So as we go through this and we start to outline this again, we really not said what it is that's going to enhance the value so much that this is a way to go. And so we're basing it right now on whatever level of service they're getting, because at least we were saying that we haven't knocked anything away. But if we take dollars away and it comes up financially, you know, it might, because somebody's going to have to live without something.
Sure, and so Rick, we could, but it all comes down to leadership and the electeds at some point. We could just say leave it as is, but here's what you need to do to improve emergency response here in the islands. You need to demand that these departments get together and train for these scenarios at this frequency so that they can respond together safely and do what they should be doing on vehicle accidents or you name it, because we do not have a unified command out there. They'll say they do, but it's a mixed bag depending on who arrives. And so we've been lucky, frankly, that no one has been hurt on an accident scene. So you could, with proper leadership, address that as is. With proper leadership, you can address the financial situations. However, the organization with EMS and fire have not been able to do that since I've been on the fire department for almost 20 years, so and through many chiefs. So at some point, you say it's two separate organizations, no matter who they have in leadership, no matter who they have as their oversight boards, are failing to bring these organizations together to improve that level of service. Now, is it an improved service to the consumer? They don't know any different, but I think it does injustice to our responders when you're out on the scene on some of these things and see some of the actions that go on out there. I mean, no one gets hurt, the patient gets helped, blah, 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 but it is not a, what I would call a well-oiled machine. And I think we've heard from both the medical program director and from another agency here on how they're able to, as a combined agency, do a lot of those things. Is it leadership? Is it, or is it because they're combined and they train together, they respond together, they have the same system, they talk the same language? I would argue that's what it is, more so than the leadership. But again, you could, with proper leadership, say, do these things and leave it as is. But for whatever reason, it hasn't happened. And when you have separate organizations, there's always something that happens that causes the rift, that stops them from meeting together and working together and doing what they need to do. So that's where I'm at. And so to me, that enhances emergency response for our citizens.
So I think you made the argument that common leadership actually is going to be a plus for the organization to do some of the goals that he describes. So I'm kind of on board with Mark on that. The one thing I would say as a caveat supporting your position, Rick, is you don't want to break what's happening well, either side, especially in EMS. I mean, they get good results in EMS. You don't want to screw it up, right, by changing things to the point that you actually don't get such good outcomes.
Exactly right.
And so that's the risk that you're trying to avoid. But it sounds to me like the argument for common leadership might be the one that gets you to the joint training, the single incident command kind of structures and things that we don't seem to be having good success with in the separate silos that they're in today.
And George, I think you actually capture well some of the thoughts and so forth. And I think that's what's going to change my mind if we see enough of those kinds of things getting in.
Well, I think we have to articulate those in order to get at what you're bothered by, which you should be bothered
by. Right, because I can't go then in front of the citizens and say, this is a good thing.
Right. And we all need to be doing that with authentic feeling of this is the right thing to do rather than just mouthing some words and calling it good. So let's get there.
I'm in favor of moving down the path. I'm just telling you what I'm going to measure against.
Yep. Well, and I think it's perfectly fine that we sort of say that this is the objective, and if we don't do these things, we're not going to get there, so it's a bad idea to do it if you're not willing to commit to doing these things. Let's write that into it. That's a piece of what we have to say, I think.
I think that's really important.
So we can capture that.
And the idea of, throughout this process, achieving some or setting benchmarks for measurable outcomes.
Yes.
Yeah, and those are going to be hard to sometimes nail down because we've had a hard time getting some of the data to do it with, even. Like, how do you say that response times are better if you don't know what the response times are now?
But I think we want to set up the framework to say, this is what we need. We're going to need this.
Yeah, you should measure this so that you can tell you're making progress.
Right.
For example.
Which helps across the board on a lot of issues.
Yeah. So maybe that should be another recommendation. Get a better grip on the data.
Well, the response time should be easy for them to get.
Of course it should, but we just couldn't get it out of them.
There's many things that could be easy for them to get. So let's not, but that's
a good point that we should get into the report. Here are some metrics that we need to know so that you can be sure that you're doing the right things by improving them. And if we don't have the baseline, it's kind of hard to know. So maybe the first step isn't go ahead and take action, but take baseline measurements so that you can tell that you're actually making progress.
Well, we won't know.
Maybe that's a good place to start.
We won't know the day that it switches if we don't understand before it switches.
That's what I mean. Rather than saying, we're going to do this because we feel like it might get better, and then not know if it does because you don't know where you were and you don't know how you're doing now.
Right.
What was the point of that?
Right.
So I think that's a valid point. We should probably try to figure out how we're going to write that up. I don't know how easy it's going to be, but we should get on something on that. And I know that you're still thinking in the back of your head, because I know this is you, that maybe it should be San Juan EMS and fire. Maybe the problem here is the focus.
I already made my pitch again.
I love that concept for all the right reasons. And you're right, when you go to the fire district meetings, it's like, it's always all about fire. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be all about fire. But let's see if we can.
And it was yesterday. It was just all three of them was going, and it was, when I brought up there was an EMS grant out there now under the farm bill that just got passed, and it was like, Norman goes, and we thought about this as a multi-purpose so that maybe we could go after EMS money enough. And Norman, don't get me wrong, I like the guy, and I think he's going to do well, but again, it's the building they're housed in, the name that it's going under. We don't need to go any further.
Right.
Let's move on.
Do you think, though, that one of the things we've talked about and haven't decided about, we should recommend making the fire commission a 5-member commission? With the idea that maybe we could promote concept of some people who actually think beyond the box of fire.
Yeah. I think that a 5-person board... can be good or bad. It can be dysfunctional or not dysfunctional. I think, though, what it does do is that at least if it's a good functional board, it allows two commissioners to actually chat without.
Yeah, that's one of the values.
And so you can brainstorm better ideas, and then when you bring them to the table, you can maybe have a better consensus and so forth. That's my gut to that. And of course, medicine, again, it would be but you can't flavor the individuals that are going to run because...
Well, no, you can't legislate that you're going to have two people who know something about medicine.
Possible. But I think...
But if you could add new positions, you might have people who are willing to step up and say, I know something about medicine.
Right,
I think
we can make a recommendation that board encourages people to run that has... knowledge of both disciplines and so forth.
A little broader perspective would be better, I think.
But still, I really want the value propositions down so that I know what I'm really hanging my hat on when we do this.
And
there's very few that I'm feeling right now. I feel like we've run the process. We know what the levy is. We know maybe what the votes need to be. We know that we probably have to redistrict because they're different district sizes. We probably know that more of the mechanics of it than making the decision around it. So as we go down that path, I'd like to make certain that we're focusing on that.
Yeah, it's pretty fundamental. I mean, I think the idea of this value proposition is kind of the framework for what have we done? Why are we making this recommendation? Mm-hmm. So we need to hit those points, yeah, or define what those points are.
So should we start trying to define those tonight so we can move forward?
I think
you made a commitment that we're going to be done by March 31st.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's not very far away.
Nope.
Wow. I noticed it went from we made that commitment to you made that commitment.
I did hear that.
Let me just say that if we don't achieve this deadline, we're going to shut down the government on March 31st.
So, you know, one of the reasons that wasn't in the outline was because that's not something I can do for you.
Right.
The recommendation and the whys has got to be you.
Yeah.
I can help with the hows. I can help with descriptive things like levy rates and how this stuff works. I can't do the recommendation and I can't do the whys. I'm not going to go out there and tell my bosses that they should merge with fire or not. That's just not something I'm going to do. So that's why that very first chapter, the recommendation, is totally blank. Because that's totally you guys. I will write down whatever you guys want, but it's got to be you. And that value proposition has got to be the first thing people see. And that's why that first chapter, that very first thing, is your recommendation. It's your value proposition and why you're doing this. The levies and elections and that sort of thing, I've got a pretty good handle on that. I'm, you know, writing it down. But that's not the whys, and it's not.
And that's what we need to be talking about here more than the mechanics.
Right.
And I think one of the interesting steps that we are throwing into the mix here that we hadn't talked much about is we need baseline data so that we can measure our success if we're going to do anything before we even start doing anything.
I mean,
then you can take these steps only if you commit to trying to improve these things in the course of doing it.
Right. I would want that in any organization, and particularly a political organization that's got to report back to taxpayers, right? I mean, I want to be able to show what we've done with your money, show what you get for it. If we're going to improve service and we're going to ask for more money, we've got to be able to demonstrate that. And I think that's just fine.
I know I've sat in enough of the hospital district board meetings to know what they do or the lack of in the fire. I've sat in a couple of the fire ones, and I really never heard a value proposition coming back to the shareholders as to what they're getting out of it. I mean, you may have set up a board. I'm looking at you only because you're the fire.
I've been to, I think, two fire district meetings in 20 years here.
Okay.
So.
Good job, Mark. You ducked that one. Awesome. That's awesome.
At the last one I was at, they did not report out any kind of metrics.
And I haven't heard anything, any measurable outcome data as to, you know, either organization's value proposition back to its shareholders.
I do know that they monitor response times. So 911 call comes out, they monitor both out the door and on scene times. Now, I've not seen that data put into a table and presented, but I'm assuming that they have it.
I know that, you know, Brad reports on, you know, their insurance rating or their fire rating and those kinds of things, which is always seems to be very good. And so that's one metric that I hear reported, that quite frankly, I don't hear any metrics reported other than, you know, financial, where they are in EMS. So, you know, it is a metric, but George, I mean, I think we need to understand what we're
doing. Well, that's what I mean. I don't think we've talked about the idea that the first step is to figure out where the hell you are. And that might be the right thing to say, is you guys first have to start by saying, how are we doing, before you can say, we're going to do this to improve it.
It would be awfully hard to launch a campaign to increase a levy or change a levy without some context of that.
You would think.
Well, and that's another thing.
How'd that go for you, Karen, without any data when you're trying to get the levy pits? Yeah.
What would be the targeted levy? I mean, we haven't talked about that. I mean, we know what the, we know where they are financially, and we look at where Orcas is financially, and we know that they probably can't be there, but, you know, what would be a targeted levy? I mean, that's probably a metric that we need to sit down and say, you know what, as you go forward, here's at least the arena you ought to be in, you know? This is.
Well, on the assumption that the consolidation would happen, and the fire district, for ease of administering that levy, would simply do a lid lift for the 50% vote rather than start a new EMS levy with a supermajority of 60% needed to pass to replace the existing one. So simple, which is why the annexation is a good idea. So if the process is annex and do a lid lift and abandon the old EMS levy, the amount of the lid lift is the question you're asking, I believe.
Yeah, that is the question. But,
right.
But
that should be driven by the numbers that I think we were hoping you were going to tell us. So it's a good question, only I think we would be asking you.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying this.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're in agreement on that's kind of come out of the numbers,
but
right?
But I think that is one of the hard things we should come up with.
No question.
The generics. The other question, was it answered last week as to why, you know, Albert made the statement, and I've heard other ones. I think Dan made the statement. Did it ever come away with why more than less, when they do RFAs, keep both levies, an EMS levy and a fire levy, across?
Why they keep them separate?
Across the state.
It didn't actually come up explicitly as an answer to that, but one answer to that is there's that flexibility of the headroom you have for the levies, and, you know, if the fire district isn't trying to absorb one of them, then they have more. And also, some of the jurisdictions have all the other property taxes that are taken from that city or whatever that all add up to a number that can't exceed, but EMS is outside of that. So EMS doesn't remove from the overall cap what fire, library, hospital, you know, school, everybody else has to stay under. So they have more flexibility. That's the only reason we could think of that actually makes sense.
Okay. We're pretty far.
But we're so far from that cap, we all decided it didn't matter here. Because we're way under anything close to that. Even in the town, they're not even going to see that anytime soon.